Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Unsere Krankenhäuser sind immer für uns da. Tag und Nacht. In ganz Deutschland. Sie möchten mehr zur neuen Krankenhausreform wissen? Dann sind Sie hier richtig. Krankenhaus-mit-zukunft.de. Eine Information des Bundesministeriums für Gesundheit.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there till the end, 100%. Minisodes. From the back to the middle and around again, I'm gonna be there till the end, 100%. Minisodes. That stutter was because I realized I should have changed percent to something else to say that this is, yes, 100% a minisode, but it's also the 100th minisode.
Whoa. We have been doing this podcast for 100 years.
100 years.
I don't think any podcast has ever gone this long before.
We're revolutionaries.
I know.
Back in 1923... they were still getting over the telephone, and we said, I'll raise you one more, baby. We're going to record sound and distribute it around the world.
Literally. And people love it. People are obsessed.
Yeah, they do. For 100 years, we've had people listening, and they're going to be listening for 100 more.
Like, I know you guys think that we started, like, you know, in the middle of 2020, like amidst, you know, a global pandemic for, you know, a passion project that Ian and I were doing remotely. But actually, that's not the case. It was what? 1923? What?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember. That makes sense. It's it's 2023 now. I've been journaling recently. Every single day I put 2022. Oh my God. You'd think I'd learn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, time sure flies when you're having fun. 100 years feels like 2.5 when you're talking about Glee, you know?
Honestly.
Here we are, happy
2.5, though? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It would be pretty crazy if that was the fact, but it's not.
I know, but that's not. 2.5 sounds crazy.
It's, in fact,
but
it's 97 and a half more than that.
Exactly. It's 100.
It's 100. Mark it down.
It feels really special. I've been thinking about it all day. Can't believe. Yeah.
From Prohibition to 2023, what's happening this year to scary laws in our government?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, not that that wasn't happening in the 1920s as well.
It was happening then. It's happening now. Oh, my God. But now I can legally drink. So, everyone, let's all take a shot right here, right now. I've got some alcohol. Just kidding. Do you remember? I've only ever drank one time in the podcast ever. And I remember it being a huge deal.
I don't remember this at all. When? What?
Blame it on the alcohol. I made 2 cocktails, remember? My roommate at the time, shout out Emily Cotro, she was making me cocktails for the Blame It on the Alcohol episode. That episode, so good. I should have got a drink right now.
Darn it. I was going to dress up for this. And by I was going to, I mean I literally thought one time, maybe I should dress up for this for our little lovely Patreon video. And then I was so tired that I thought, no, I'm going to take a nap instead.
Honestly, that's celebration enough. I love it.
It was kind of like either I do the podcast in a suit and I'm so grumpy.
Oh,
or I do the podcast in a t-shirt and I'm in a good mood. So I thought I'd pick quality.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. How's it going, my friend?
You know, just back to the middle and around again. Also, sorry, I usually try to shout out the artist when I, you know, use their songs without their permission. That's 100% Pure Love by Crystal Waters. Sorry, Crystal. I know you've been listening since the beginning, and you will continue to listen until the sun burns out. I'm so great.
That's where we're going to stop doing this podcast.
Yes, when the sun burns out is when we are airing our last episode.
Yeah.
You can take that to the bank.
Yep.
And I'm good. You know, good. My knees are very nimble for being over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Honestly, my health is great for my age, for my age.
Yeah, totally.
And having a party every day as honestly is my goal in life. How are you?
I'm also good. You know, I'm a little under the weather, which, you know, for my age, don't be too worried. I can bounce back, I promise.
Yeah, despite her age, she really can overcome sickness.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I weave a wobble, but I don't fall down. So mm-mm. I may be a little under the weather, but don't feel like death is in the air because I'm still kicking. Heck yeah. And, yeah, totally. I'm good, though. A little under the
hooray
weather.
Hooray. Well, welcome to your two-for-one deal on your 100th minisode, because it is a minisode about opening night. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an episode of Glee that we just talked about a few days ago. But on top of that, it is our 100th minisode. So it's also a blast from the past, walk through memory lane, semi-clip show minisode. I did famously say on our episode on opening night that it was not going to be a clip show because that was so much work from the editing bay. But I love to torture myself, so it's going to be a clip show.
Oh my God. Do you call when you edit the editing bay, like wherever you are?
No.
Like, I'm going to jump in the editing bay. I'll see you guys in a minute.
It truly just fell out of my mouth.
I really love it. It's very slay. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you. We requested, obviously, thoughts on opening night. We also were like, oh, it'd be fun for 100th minisode. People sent in like favorite memories of the podcast as a little memory. Like, remember 100 years ago when everything was so different? We were all naive and we were like, the American economy is just climbing and climbing and climbing, and it's never, ever going to fall. And we're all going to the speakeasy, having a great time shooting men that were having an affair with their wife into our swimming pools.
Yes, literally.
Also, that's not accurate because Gatsby was not the one having the affair. Tom was. So scratch that.
Oh my God. Anyways. My bestie Fitzgerald is going to come over here and punch you. Also, he's so
double inaccurate because Gatsby does not shoot the dude. The dude shoots Gatsby.
The dude shoots Gatsby. Yeah.
Let me take that again. Getting shot by men who are best friends or having an affair with their wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's take two. I literally don't remember where I was going with that train of thought because I got so hung up on the details of F. Scott Fitzgerald's magnum opus, The Great Gatsby. But all this to say, it's going to be a semi-clip show because some people sent us memories where they're like, my favorite thing was in this episode when this happened. And like, that's not that hard to track down. But if people just said my favorite thing was this moment and there's no specifications, we'll share the moment, but I cannot comb through this podcast to find it. Some of these will have clips, some won't.
100 minisodes and how many? Like 110 maxisodes almost?
Yum.
Plus a few Grinches in much. There. Plus a few Grinch episodes in there.
Yeah, just, and also the Grinch aired twice in there.
No,
and
that's why I said
and a few season wrap-ups on top of that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Whoa. We really put out content. Honestly, when I talk to like people in my normal day-to-day life about the podcast, they're like, that's so cool. How often do you release episodes? And I'm like, you know, 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week. And they're like, no way. And I said, yeah, it's kind of like a kind of big time commitment.
Yeah, it's not a job.
Totally. I sometimes I just think about the sheer amount of hours that are me just gabbing on the internet. It's really intense.
It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. Yeah, I can't swim through all of that to find
no way
the needle in the haystack that is the weird thing we said one time that made me laugh. So I'm honored to remember it. And it will live on in our memory.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Also, we asked our Instagram followers to send us some of their favorite memories. So Pepperdine will share some of your memories from Instagram as well.
Well, hello, everyone. I am one of the first podcasters in history way back when, and I'm still going strong. I was the first. I will be the last.
Yeah.
My name is Ian Allred, and I was one of the first mini geeks. I'm going to be one of the last mini geeks.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everyone? I know that Ian said he was one of. That's because I was first. He was just right behind me.
Bitch, I said one of because we started together. How dare you?
I'm kidding. I didn't know what to say. I was one of. No, we went in, we went hand in hand. You and me, we linked arms and we said, let's start a thing called a podcast. And then my friend in 1923 went, hey, buddy, what the frick is that? And then I was like, I'm going to invent it. And I was also chain smoking while I said that. Mm-hmm. But you and I went arm in arm. A favorite memory of mine.
Armin, shout out to that podcast. I think I could actually find that one because it's the title of the podcast. But I don't know if I will.
That's okay. But one of my favorite times, the phrase Armin. You and I went Armin to start this thing called a podcast, and I was one of the first mini gleeks because Ian was one of the first mini gleeks. But yeah. I was walking a little faster. He's got longer legs than me. I have to
So she has to make up for it.
Yeah. So I was kind of sprinting. And I'm mini gleek.
We actually, since we were the first podcasters, we actually did name the art form podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people don't know that it's named after Lena. Do you want to take this over?
Yeah, totally.
I remember you were very passionate about the naming of it.
Yeah, I remember. I'm just trying to think about what I was thinking about that day. Podcasting. Well, so I was really into witchcraft at the time.
Classic. I remember.
And so casting, that's I'm a big spell caster. In pod, I think I was I think we were eating, oh my god, you know what it was? We were eating edamame at the time.
I literally thought you were gonna say Tide Pods.
We did start that trend.
But that was about 90 years down the line. Literally. At this point we were eating edamame, you're correct.
And so we were like, oh my gosh, this little pod. And I remember you wouldn't stop saying pod because you were just like, that's such a good word. Like it was yesterday. Literally, you were chain smoking and you said, oh my god. Pod is such a good word.
Baby.
Literally.
I was like, look at this pod, see? You ever look at an edamame and think about how it's in a pod, see?
Literally. And so you kept talking about pods and I was obsessed with my spell casting. So I took two things that we were obsessed with at the time in 1923. See, we were chasing.
Year of our Lord, 1923, see?
And that's how I named it.
Podcasting. I remember that so well. I remember that so well.
Yeah, not super well because you mix it up with the Tide Pod thing. But then I remember we did start that because, you know, of course.
You said, you know what we should do is we should record our voices and name the art form after edamame and spellcasting. And I said, yes. And you know what else we should do is put every penny we own into a bank. And one of those things worked out very well for us. And one of,
and the other one did not. Oh my God, you guys, the 30s were really fucked up for us.
Guys, the 30s were so bad.
I don't even dark want time to talk in this about nation. It. Literally. The only thing that makes me feel better is watching the Kit Kittredge movie. Is it that? Is that the American Girl doll that's in the Great Depression? I was not rich enough to have American Girl dolls.
I didn't have American Girl dolls either. Kittredge. Yep, she's the 30s doll.
Oh my God, I'm so smart. But I have seen the movie. Anyway.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. If I could go back in time, I'd say, keep going with the podcasting.
I'd say, and take all your money out of the
bank. And I said, oh my God, it's but spending on credit is so easy. See, it's so fun. I said, it's not worth it. Anyway. You ready to get into this minisode?
You better believe it. 100. Yes, yes. 100 times yes.
Let's party. Let's right. kick things off with a message from our friend Ella.
Hi, my name is Ella, and I've been a longtime listener, but never really had the courage to write in before. I can't believe you guys are at 100 minisodes. It feels like just yesterday I was discovering the podcast in the middle of lockdown. Ella is, of course, talking about when she was locked in prison because she got caught drinking publicly because this was during Prohibition.
Ella, it's Prohibition. What are you doing?
Prohibition. You can't, you gotta keep that stuff under wraps. I have loved listening to you guys talk about Glee and everything under the sun. Listening to the podcast always brings a smile to my face.
That was really funny.
One of my favorite memories of the podcast was listening to the podcast while baking. I was in the kitchen with my headphones in. I don't remember what episode it was, but I think you guys were talking about Wicked and a few other things. I remember turning to my mom all of a sudden and saying something like, "They feel like my friends. They get me." She, of course, had no idea what I was talking about, and I had to explain what the podcast was. While explaining it, I realized how much the show had meant to me, and still does, over the past few months. It made me laugh and smile, and I felt like I was hanging out with friends. Love you guys, Ella. And of course, the reason that Ella had to explain to her mom what the podcast was because no one had ever heard of a podcast before, because this is in the 1920s.
And we invented it. And we invented it.
I do. First off, Ella, thank you for this email. It's very, very sweet. I don't know if this is actually what happened, but in my mind, your mother also didn't know that you were listening to a podcast. So it was just you baking with headphones in. And then you just go, "They feel like my friends. They get me." And your mom was like, "What? Who? What?
Who?" I love that. Honestly, I think that's how I pictured it as well. I'm obsessed. Yeah, this message is so sweet. I really appreciate it. And honestly, it is like incredibly heartwarming and humbling when people say that when they listen, they feel like friends to us. Mm-hmm. Because that's like, that's all I could ever want, is to make people feel like they've got somebody to laugh with. And that makes me so happy. And I really appreciate you saying that.
Yes. I feel the same. Thank you, Ella.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ella. Up next, we've got a message from Megan. No,
up next, we got a clip show, baby.
Oh my gosh, a clip show.
Megan, you are coming soon, but not yet.
But wait your turn.
Let's do four. You pick, I pick, you pick, I pick. Yes?
Word.
So we got a lot. We posted on Instagram that we were like, what are some people's favorite memories? We got a lot of responses. We tragically cannot share them all, but thank you for everyone who wrote in.
Absolutely.
But we're going to be sharing some of them.
We've got a message from Darby Gilliland. Pardon me if I say this wrong, but at Darby Gilliland, Matt Bomer Sex Couch. Matt Bomer Sex Couch.
Flashback.
We found out that someone we know was dating him. Fully dating Magic Mike's Matt Bomer while they both worked at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. USF has housed the actors in the same apartment complex since like the 80s.
The dawn of freaking time.
Since like the dinosaurs were on the earth, the actors have been living in that same apartment complex. So Lena and I have this bit. We're so awful.
Really does make us bad people.
Every time we entered a new apartment, like a new room in that complex that we hadn't been in, we would say to each
Please
other,
"Please do not tell Matt Bomer this."
We'd be like, "Do you think Matt Bomer and Redacted had sex in this room?"
Oh my gosh, and also, that does make us terrible people.
since they've been housing actors in those apartments since the Big Bang, there are a lot of just like mysterious stains
everywhere.
Just like nondescript, suspicious stains on everything. Yeah. And we used to refer to the stains on our couches.
No. Don't say it.
I won't say it. You can fill in the blank. Honestly, you already know where this is going.
Flash forward.
That is one of my favorite things in the world. on so many levels. Because that's one of those things that, like, is a layered joke of, like, people we know, but also, like, that we happen to be at the right place in the right time. And the fact that we were watching Glee. Like, oh, my God, the stars aligned that day. So good.
They really did. Because that was just, like, a joke that you and I had all the time. Just to be like, do you think Matt Bomer and Name Redacted had sex in this room?
Yeah.
And then we just happened to get to the Matt Bomer episode of Glee while we were living in that apartment complex. Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think he did. I think there's some truth to that. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next one. I like want to read all of these, but obviously it's, they can't happen. The fabulous Dr. Dom says, the Freaky Friday Thanksgiving bit. I thought you guys were serious for way too long.
Flashback.
When you think props, you think of two things. You think of Thanksgiving and you think of the body switching.
Which is like a pretty common trope in Thanksgiving media. I feel like every Thanksgiving movie is always a body swap.
Absolutely. Like, every ridiculous Christmas movie is all about like what would happen if you didn't exist. Or, like if you had died. And every Thanksgiving movie is all about you swapping
like
bodies.
What if you were your rival? You woke up in their body.
Yeah, exactly. Or like if your mom like was giving you a tough time.
Yeah, like what
Freaky
if you
Freaky Friday
your mom?
Is a great Thanksgiving movie.
Mm-hmm. Flash forward.
That is my dream for the things for the Freaky Friday bit. Is that sometime in 10 years.
Yeah.
There's just like a group of friends who have a tradition where they watch Freaky Friday every Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and
they
like
don't know
one
why.
Of them. Yeah, like one of them remembers why they're doing it, and the rest are just like, I don't know, it's just like something we've always done.
Freaky Friday just feels like a Thanksgiving movie. No, I love
that. Yeah, they're
just
like, I just have to watch it every Thanksgiving. And that's
and you know
truly
what
I wish.
I really think that this is the moment we call the podcast listeners to action. Gaslight your friends into thinking that Freaky Friday is a Thanksgiving movie. I think we can make this happen.
And we did our November Patreon bonus episode was on Freaky Friday. And we, the whole episode, just talk about like, well, of course we're watching this because it's getting around Thanksgiving. So like, of course we have to watch Freaky Friday.
Of course. And also, we majorly rigged the poll that month so that
so it was only
the
body
only
swap
movie,
movies.
Only body swap movies. So silly. Flomy Goodness says, Gritty is a freak.
Flashback.
What's up with Philadelphia and having the most bonkers mascots? Because they
Dude,
also have Philly Fanatic.
And find out.
Honestly,
I don't know.
Do you hear me out?
What?
Do you think Gritty and Philly Fanatic are dating?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so too.
I'm actually moving to Philly in a minute. Not moving.
That's true.
But I am going to go do a job there soon.
Are you going to start a thruple with them?
Yeah, that was my plan. I've actually been in contact with Gritty, and he's been talking to me a little bit about the Philly Fanatic. So
he's like, Philly Fanatic is a little more conservative. Yeah. They're like, you know, they're not super open to this. So I'm really trying
but
to
Gritty's
talk them
really
into
it. But Gritty's really looking for a third.
I'm sorry. You know Gritty's a freak. Look at his face. You're about to tell me that's a monogamous type? I don't think so.
Flash forward.
This, we have two people are requesting this for you, Lena. Lil Yarmstrong and or Lil Y Armstrong, maybe. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin Marie both say, Lena saying, are you joking my ass? Bring it back.
Have I not said it in a minute? I feel like I say it all the time. I love
guess
it.
Guess not.
Well, I'll make a note of it. Thank you. I love it. I love this. It feels like our birthday. But we're 100.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Unsere Krankenhäuser sind immer für uns da, Tag und Nacht, in ganz Deutschland. Sie möchten mehr zur neuen Krankenhausreform wissen? Dann sind Sie hier richtig. krankenhaus-mit-zukunft.de. Eine Information des Bundesministeriums für Gesundheit.
Back to our emails, baby.
Megan, it's your turn now.
Dear Ian and LPC, my name is Megan Sheher. In honor of your 100th minisode, I wanted to share how much this podcast means to me. This podcast has been one of my comforts during hard times, from the post-graduation blues to now a breakup. Without getting into specifics, it was a mutual breakup, but still very difficult. Around the time of the breakup, I had been re-listening to y'all's episodes on season one. The day after the breakup, I was feeling really down at work, and in a way, I was taking y'all's advice by watching the episode Vitamin D for much-needed serotonin to get me through the rest of the workday. Later that week, my best friend, who introduced me to Glee, and I had a sleepover, and we watched Mattress and had an amazing time. One of my favorite moments on the pod is when you both talk about the reasons so Shelby is a sociopath. Besides the obvious reasons, you both explain how she gives Rachel an ugly cup that is impossible to clean and doesn't even let her open the gift.
Flashback.
The cup that Shelby gives Rachel, that is the ugliest thing. It looks like the Holy Grail. It's a chalice.
It's like a bedazzled cup. How do you wash that?
Yeah, she is dooming Rachel to years of hand-washing her dishes.
And you have to, like, clean in between the rhinestones. Come on. Also, listen to this. The woman is a sociopath. She gets Rachel a gift. She opens it herself and hands it to her. Rachel doesn't even get the satisfaction of opening the gift that is for her.
What is wrong with her? She is so terrible. And this is a cup that a sociopath would drink of.
Oh, absolutely.
Flash forward.
That whole bit brings me so much laughter. Glee is silly and problematic at times, but it also opens ourselves up to joy. I hope you both know how much this podcast has brought me and so many others. Best, Megan. P.S. My birthday's at the end of the month, and I was wondering if I could have a birthday shout-out. Also, shout-out to my birthday evil twin, Ian Allred, a reference to a minisode from season two. All right, you ready? One, yep. Two, three, happy birthday to you. What is birthday evil twin? When I read this the first time, I was like, I have a faint memory of what that means, but I don't. Like, I have a faint memory of that being a concept.
Birthday evil twin. Oh, I'm trying to remember.
What does it mean? This feels like a Lena-ism. This is not something that came from me.
Lena-ism? I feel like it's a listener of the podcast-ism that let us know what this is.
Girl, you're probably right.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a me thing. This feels like a them thing.
Let's search the,
it's
the
too funny
annals
for me.
Of history.
Literally.
Birthday too funny for I you. I was literally going to say, the Shelby being a sociopath is one of my favorite things that has ever happened on this podcast, and it is 100% your doing. When you mention the fact that, like, we both are like, oh, the cup is so ugly. And then you're the one to point out Shelby doesn't even let Rachel open the present. She puts the box on the piano, opens it herself.
That she is, does. What a monster.
That is so, so funny. So I went back into the annals of history and found another.
Do you mean our Gmail?
Yes, our Gmail. And I found another email from Megan, but from last year. So hi, Megan. Glad you're still listening. Where she mentions that someone mentioned it during a minisode in season two. I don't know what minisode that was. I'm so sorry whoever sent that original email. But she says that your birthday evil twin is someone who is born 52 days after you. So yes. I was born 52 days after Megan. That's why.
Oh my God. Well, happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
And happy birthday 52 days to me, I guess. Wow.
I guess. Wow. On to your email. This means a lot to me. Along with, like, what I said about Ella's email, another thing is I love that people can listen to our podcast and have a break from their life and, like, you know, what's going on. I feel like Ian and I like, have gone through a lot while doing this podcast, and we have, like, ourselves, like, had a lot of, like, joy and laughter in really hard times, you know, with this podcast. And it is an honor that other people have felt that way too. And I'm just, you know, I'm really grateful that people feel that way.
I mean, this podcast was born out of the year 1923, of course, but it was born out of both of us being like, I am depressed and I need a distraction. Yeah. Like the podcast was created out of us needing a distraction from hard stuff we were going through. And so it is a beautiful full circle moment that listening to it can provide a similar thing to other people.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you, Megan. And big happy birthday at the end of the month. Oh my gosh. All right.
You ready for some Instagrams?
At Alinta Nixon says, chicken flavored cum.
Flashback.
I can't wait to visit Australia one day and have chicken flavored things. I love that.
That's the number one thing I'm doing when I go to Australia. Sydney Opera House. Australian Outback. Where? I want some chicken flavored things.
Like, what does that mean? Like chips? Like chicken flavored chips?
Chicken flavored chicken?
Chicken flavored gum? I said gum.
Did you mean to?
But the way I said it came out way, like the plosives and the G came out way struck than I meant.
I said gum.
I said gum.
It's like, you cannot just come say that on this podcast. Chicken flavored chewing gum, everyone, is what was said. If you heard anything else,
oh my god,
you didn't hear it.
Flash forward.
The best part about that was, I didn't know that you said gum. Like you started laughing because you heard it. But I thought that you just said cum and then were immediately like, oh, that was too far. And I was like, why would that be what your brain would do? That one was a lot. truly a lot.
I remember saying it and it came out just like way too loud as well. And then just the silence that followed.
Chicken flavor cum.
And you really didn't say a word. Oh my god.
I didn't know how to respond. It's like, why?
He said, this lady is sick.
Said, that's not at all what we were talking about. Why would you take the podcast in that direction?
He said, you are literally so disgusting. Oh my god.
Okay.
Oh, that's really good.
That one made me cry. Well, see, Lucas 0614 said, I just want a minisode of your laughter. So that was for you, Lucas.
Great. That's for you.
I'm not counting that one, though. That was a freebie. Yeah. Let me find it. Oh my gosh, I feel sick. Okay. This was mentioned by a few people, but the one that I have in front of me is Geek with the Drama said, help, something bit my anus.
Flashback.
I went to girls camp one year, and in the bathrooms at this like lodge camp that we were staying at, there were bats in the toilet.
No.
Obsessed.
And someone like almost
bite your anus.
Someone almost sat on them, and it was like, can you imagine getting rabies on your butt
from a
Well, listen,
rabies on your anus. Help, something bit my anus. I was just trying to use the bathroom, and then I felt something grab onto my anus. Help, something bit my anus.
I'm gonna be right. Do you tell your camp counselor? Do you pull up your pants? Does it still last?
You come out, you're crying, like, what's wrong? You're like, my anus!
Do you dislodge the bat? Do you go to your camp counselor? Will you make eye contact?
Will you check my anus? Excuse me, I felt something unfamiliar. Will you please check my anus?
I'm gonna throw up. I'm gonna really. Oh, God. That's disgusting.
So, thankfully, everyone in McKinley High's anuses are now safe.
Flash forward.
That was my tip, I remember.
That was an EP tip.
At what even Layla says brown eggs. Oh my gosh.
That's recent.
That's the Beatles one.
Flashback.
Brian Epstein, their manager, brought a demo copy of what was going to be their next single, I Want to Hold Your Hand, to, is this man's name? I wrote this down, so this must be his name. Brown Eggs? Is that an autocorrect?
Hell yeah, shout out Brown Eggs.
There's no way this guy's name is Brown Eggs. One second, I'm gonna go back and look at this. Man, he must have had a tough childhood. That's why he was not releasing
their music. That's such a good name.
That's why he wasn't releasing their music in the US, because he was bitter because he was bullied as a child for being named Brown Eggs. Mr. and Mrs. Eggs.
Brown Eggs.
You can't do that to your son.
Any other name, please.
Any other. His name, okay. His name is Brown Megs with an M. Brown Megs.
But might as well be brown eggs. That's hilarious.
For breakfast, I would love some pancakes, some hash browns, and some brown eggs.
Flash forward.
This one also got a few shout outs, but the one I have in front of me is Echo NS, which is when Ian wouldn't stop singing Ben.
Oh my God.
Flashback.
Jumping to Ben.
The two of us need look no more. How many times can I sing this song in one episode?
Frankly,
not enough.
This number is weird.
I hate it. I hate this number. It's also, lest we forget, about a rat who kills people.
I cannot stress this enough, you guys.
Yeah, I literally.
It's a homicidal rat. Ian, what was your worst part of the episode?
Ben.
No.
The two of us. I don't want to hear it. No more.
It's 2 a.m. I don't want it.
We both found what we were looking for.
No, it's ass.
With a friend to call my own, I'll never be
okay.
Genuinely, what was that scene that was so corny? I hated it.
Seriously.
Hey. You're always running here and there. You feel you're not wanted anywhere.
I need to end this now. It is 2 a.m. I love you. My capacity for hearing Ben anymore, I will turn off this podcast right now. I will turn this car around right now.
There's something you should... She threw something at me. Should know you've got a place to go.
I'll throw a whole avocado at you.
Flash forward.
Also, remember, we mentioned this on our Twitter months later. Dare I say, over a year later. Not dare I say, that's a fact. Over a year later, Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz are starting their new podcast, That's What You Really Missed. And they are talking about the Michael Jackson episode. And Kevin McHale, no, it's Chris Colfer is guesting on That's What You Really Missed. And they're talking about the Michael Jackson episode, and Chris says how he hated singing Ben because he was like, the song was so stupid. I was like, why are we making this an intimate moment? This is a song about a rat. I was like,
literally.
Chris, you're a boy just like me. Like, literally, we are on the same page
about this. Oh my gosh. Let's listen to an email from Eliza.
Hiya, guys. Opening night. We are still talking about opening night in this episode, everyone. Don't worry. The dream sequence at the start was so perfectly camp. The distorted voices, the season one costumes, the song, being naked in a nightmare, the other Rachel judging her in the audience and everyone booing her awake. That whole scene is so well executed because dreams, particularly nightmares, make zero fucking sense. I have one minor grievance about this part. To be honest, every movie or TV show does this, but who the fuck sits right up in their bed immediately after waking up from a nightmare? There's definitely a jolt of sorts, but when you're asleep enough that a dream is occurring, waking up rapidly like that means your body would be lagging at least a little bit. Obviously, it doesn't actually matter, but that trope gives me the willies. I loved the thumping heartbeat before Rachel goes on stage and how her deep breaths were not actually slowing it down. We're not actually slowing it down much, but just steadying it. That's way more realistic to how nerves actually settle because you can only really redirect it. It doesn't just magically dissipate. I really didn't like the choice of a duet and Who Are You Now. I understand the funnier aspect of it, to break up the heavier stuff, but I kind of just want to cry with Rachel for more than the last 30 seconds of the song. Is that so much to ask? I love Jane Lynch and Sue, but she took up a space I didn't need her to here. Last thing. Why is Sydney putting all this pressure on Rachel the day of the show / during intermission? Give this woman some encouragement, not a don't fuck it up or you'll be done forever and the whole production will be closed down if you aren't perfect on this one chance, okay, break a leg. I understand it's necessary for her to know the stakes, but they should have already had these discussions during the rehearsal stages. It's like he's trying to psych her out and sabotage his own production. Alrighty, that's all, folks. I'm excited to hear what you think in the next few episodes. Love, Eliza. She, her. Eliza, great points about Sydney. If my director was coming into my dressing room during the opening night performance and being like, hey, you're doing pretty well, but remember, if you don't continue to do well, everyone in this production is out of a job, I would have a full breakdown. During like an opening performance, I truly just need you to lie to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when the show's over... we can have a conversation.
Right.
But like, I just need positive feedback right now because I'm already such a ball of nerves that I won't be able to handle anything else.
And like, not to mention like telling her where, like literally where, not just that the New York Times person is in the audience, but where that they are sitting. Oh and my gosh, what a nightmare. And stepped
over his lap.
Nightmare.
Terrible. Ugh.
Eliza, thanks so much for sending us this. Up next, we're going to tell you some Instagram thoughts. Carson DeRinger says, when Lena kept singing, Christine, where in the world have you been hiding?
Flashback.
Well, heck, Christine, thank you so much for telling us that. Christine. And thanks for making a difference in the world. Love you, Clean Shippers.
Christine,
where in the world have you been hiding?
Flash forward.
That was in a minisode when it was from someone named Christine. And any time that we said her name.
Yes. Oh my God. Shout out to respectful Christine. To our
listeners.
I know, literally.
I have a three for Ronnie Peskin. Nice. Says, this first one was mentioned by a lot of people. The Baby Likes a Soup episode, The Substitute, which was voted on by our listeners as their favorite episode of all time, which is wild.
Flashback.
Baby Likes a Soup.
Yeah, I do think, like, honestly, I think the Baby Likes a Soup, like, baby liking his soup, it's showing us that, like, Will is baby, and that, like, that, like, he does have, you know, he has kind of, like, home, like, he likes, like, a home-centric taste. Like, I feel like soup is very, like, a, like, very comforting and homey type food, and so, like, Will being baby, like, that's what he finds comfort in.
Yeah, of course.
Flash forward.
Also, this is a throwback back. Puck autocorrecting to you, fuck.
Oh, what a throwback.
That's episode 3, baby.
Literally.
That's our second week on the air.
Flashback.
One of my notes says... I don't even know what this means.
Are you crying?
I'm really crying. Okay. It says, you, Frank, wants to join Rockefellers.
What is it supposed to say?
I think it's Puck.
But who's you?
I don't know. I dictate my notes. You, Frank, wants to join Rockefeller.
Anyways.
Oh, my God. No, no. It says, oh, my God, again. It says, you, Frank, has a nipple ring.
Every time Puck, it changes to that?
Yeah, I think so.
Why does it put a U? How many times do you say that?
The F word?
Yeah, how many times are you specifically like, you, Frank? Like, not just the F word, but with you in front of it.
Not really. Not a lot. I never...
The evidence says otherwise.
The proof is in the pudding, bitch.
Flash forward.
My phone does not do that anymore.
And then Lena realizing the Glax song is Dick in a Box.
Flashback.
Oh yeah, it's time for the Glax.
Guess what I realized this morning?
What?
I realized where, oh yeah, it's time for the Glax is from.
Did you rip something off?
I didn't realize I did, but I did. I ripped off. It's my dick in a box.
Oh my gosh, it is!
I remember you asked me, you were like, that sounds so familiar. What's it from? And I said, I don't know. And I didn't until this morning. Do you think the Lonely Island is going to sue us?
Yeah, you think Andy Samberg is about to show up at your door with a lawsuit?
I hope he does. I have a crush on him.
Flash forward.
Whoa.
We're still waiting for that cease and desist from Andy Samberg. It has not come through yet.
It hasn't come through yet, so I'm going to keep playing it. Ronnie.rum.punch says, what are you, gay, when changing pronouns?
Flashback.
I don't know why this is my biggest pet peeve of all pet peeves. It really is unwarranted why my like absolute rage whenever this happens. Whenever people like are singing especially like a cover of a song, mm-hmm. and they like change the pronouns or like change it up to be more straight, I just hate it. Do you know what I mean?
It feels like a little passively homophobic to me.
Yes!
If you are just singing this song to sing it, it is not in a larger story, and it's also not about like a specific real person that you're like dedicating the song to. Just sing the pronouns that are in the song.
I know.
Like, are you so afraid that someone is going to be like, gay? Oh, you're gay? Oh, what? You sing this song about how you used to date a boy? Does that mean you actually used to date a boy? Like,
oh my God, what are you, gay?
It's got big time Santa buddy vibes.
Flash forward.
That was the first episode we ever recorded in New York, I remember. Mm-hmm. We did it on You're my sitting bedroom on your floor.
You had no furniture.
Oh my gosh, put our mics crazy.
On your suitcase.
Yeah, literally. I was fresh off the plane.
I don't know if I even remember this one. Sounder1317 says, the bit in I Do where y'all said you got the ick from people having self-love had me rolling.
I'm sure we've said that. That sounds literally like something we said.
But I don't remember that.
Flashback.
Okay. I want everyone to know, I don't try and keep my partners down. That's not a thing.
As soon as Lena's partners feel good about themselves, she's like, oh, I'm actually not into this anymore. They wake up and they look in the mirror and they're like, I feel like I'm looking good today. And you're like, I think we have to break up.
I get the ick. When people love themselves, I get the ick. When people have self-love, I go,
Do you ever see someone setting a long-term goal, accomplishing it, and being proud of themselves? Ooh, that gives you the immediate ick.
The ick.
Do you ever see someone knowing their worth? I'm out.
Do you ever see someone standing up for themselves? Uh-oh. Oh my God.
How fun being single. Standing up for yourself and no one else, because you'll never have anyone else to stand up for.
Yeah, you're not standing up for me, I'll tell you what.
You're on a date and you like pass a mirror and they say, look how good we look together. And you say, we?
Like, bold assumption.
You're supposed to say, I can't believe I'm here with you. That's what you're supposed to say. Learn your lines.
You're supposed to say, thank you so much.
Flash forward.
All right. Let's listen to an email from Fran.
Dear Lean and Ina, this is Fran, she, her, writing from New Brunswick, Canada.
International listener!
congratulations on your 100th minisode. I'm so excited for you. I wanted to touch on how hilarious it was to me that someone wrote a sweet love letter to you about how much fun the minisodes are to listen to, and that everyone should be tuning in to hear more of our beloved mini gleeks. And in an unrelated episode that followed, you dove into a seemingly endless bit that involves so much scatting that was in no way self-indulgent or alienating.
Flashback.
Grace, you make a lot of great points in this email. The one that stuck out to me the most was...
Do you think the audience is going to like the scatting?
No. I think we're really turning away a lot of the audience right now.
No, we're really alienating the audience who doesn't like scatting. Oh, just do it really shitty scatters.
To anyone in the audience who is put off by this bit, who feels like we're being disrespectful or feels like we're being self-indulgent or just feels like we're like not staying on the topic of this minisode,
yeah.
I just really want to say...
Flash forward.
The best part about this is that my app plays the episodes backwards for some reason, and I wasn't paying attention at the beginning to see that I was listening to a repeat, so I thought you were doing even more scatting in an entirely different episode, and I said to myself, why? Now I realize writing this could have set off another round of yow, skibidilities! That is verbatim
That's
what is written.
Literally the funniest freaking thing I've ever read, ever. Yow, skibidilities!
So I apologize to my dear fellow listeners.
Yow, skibidilities!
I just love when you guys are being silly geese. Another minisode bit that lives in my head rent-free is the time when you had an international listener who said that they were worried about the jingle being audible through their headphones while they listened to on their public transit. And what followed was much layering and cacophonous singing so loud and obnoxious, it made me laugh my butt off. I adore your cheeky sense of humor and deeply appreciate your dedication to this podcast. I'm looking forward to hearing more hot takes and controversial bravery. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful friendship with all of us. Consensual exes and oh, Fran. P.S. I tried listening to you guys once a little too close to bedtime back when I had a roommate and no headphones because I'm the worst. And her only complaint was the glee sensor kept startling her. So I had to wait to listen at appropriate hours until I finally bought earbuds. To be fair, I often wonder how people can fall asleep to your uproarious cackling because I just laugh along with you. You brighten my days and also inspire me to think critically and navigate the world more mindfully. I have to say, Fran, that... the scatting got mentioned numerous times on this Instagram poll. So, sorry, the people like what the people like,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it is skibby doodly dee.
And the people like, that's what they want. What can I say?
We're so good, you know. We're literally... so good.
I wish I remembered what Minnie said it was when I put the international listener jingle like 30 times in a row.
That was really funny.
Such an asshole move of me, and I think it's so funny.
Again, respectful of our listeners.
Always respecting the people who have things to say to us.
I remember that, and I was like, oh my gosh, you are bold. That was so funny.
Well, Fran, thank you for this email. Glad to have you listening.
Yeah, it makes me smile.
Glad to have you laughing.
Thank you so much.
Glad that the scatting didn't alienate you so much that you left the podcast.
Literally, I'm glad. I'm really glad. Thanks so much, Fran.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Okay, I've got one.
All right.
Brooke Shar 14 says, anytime y'all commit to the bit about some random extra named Joe? I've never heard of him.
A lot of people actually send us messages about Joe, and I'm like, who is this? I really don't even know who you guys are talking about.
So you seem like, is this a long con among our listeners that you're just pretending that Joe exists?
Yeah. We're not your friends, and we are your friends, but we're not your friends that you're trying to gaslight about the thing, Freaky Friday being a Thanksgiving thing. Like, we're hip. We know what's up. I don't know who
that is. So I'm going to just lovingly steal this from Carb Queen on our Reddit, who made a super cut of all the times. This is as of a year ago, but all the different ways we referred to Joe. So I'm going to insert that as this clip. But we did not make this Carb Queen put this together.
Flashback.
This episode is the introduction to a character named Joe Hart, the most boring character in the history of the show. What I hate about just like the random extra that sometimes wanders on camera, a walking piece of bread. I think Joe is so bland and boring and maybe the worst character who's ever been on this show. The fact that I think he's bland, just like get a mannequin to be on screen so that Quinn can have a boyfriend. Ugh, I hate Joe. This sentient plank of wood. Does Kurt know this like bag of sand? It's like giant bag of sand that's on the chair. Yes. Why would Kurt be like, I need to talk to someone in the God Squad? Should I talk to my best friend? No. Mm. Should I talk to this guy who I have like a close relationship with and have helped out in a hard time? No. Should I talk to this gray billow of smoke?
This nondescript pile of hay.
You're like, man, if we are going to make everyone stare at just like moss growing on the side of the McKinley School for the rest of this season, we have to at least give it some lines.
If we're going to cast this crack in the pavement in our show,
we are really going to make the drinking fountain in the hallway one of the main characters moving forward. We have to at least let it talk. The general idea of a person. Bag of brown sugar. Brown sugar is far too interesting.
Rusty door hinge.
His hair with legs.
This bag of all-purpose flour.
I don't like him. He's boring. Joe, an empty burlap sack. You human stick of celery. Quinn and her imaginary friend. Next, please.
Quinn in the automation in her wheelchair.
Joe, I am asleep.
Flash forward.
This was another one that was said a few times, but the specific one is Isabel C. Freeman saying Alex knowing a scary amount about the future in his season predictions.
Oh my gosh.
Someone else specifically said when Alex says that he had to contact the Glearits.
The Glearits! Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
Flashback.
Will sings Blurred Lines at one point and then never is allowed to speak again. Will and Emma have a baby, probably?
So tell me more about Blurred Lines.
He sings it.
Here's my question.
Uh-huh.
This is a spoiler. Do you know that he actually does sing that song?
He does? You guys, kidding me.
Because sometimes you are like, I know that Glee does this song.
I said it in a tone that I knew it. I said it in a way that it was a fact that I knew. That was a full reach, like that was something that should never be done. I was kidding.
Flash forward.
Taylor Brienne says, Uncanny Valley minisode still to this day makes me laugh out loud. And I concur. I love that bit. I love that episode so much, especially thinking back now with an understanding of what Uncanny Valley is. The way that Ian explains pretty well what Uncanny Valley is, and me fully not getting it. It's really funny.
Flashback.
And here we are 30 years later.
Here we are 30 years later, still doing the minisodes. Good for us.
I know, good for us.
Congratulations.
I'm surprised our Uncanny Valley hasn't gotten to us sooner.
Honestly, it took 30 years, and I woke up this morning and I said, enough's enough.
Said no more.
I looked in the mirror and I said, why is Lena in my bathroom? And I said, wait, that's my face. I can't do it anymore.
That's why I don't leave my bed most of the time, because I swear, if I catch a reflection, I'll punch it. I've broken every mirror in my home.
Flash forward.
We also just misuse it the whole episode.
Yeah, well, I had no fucking clue what that was. I had never heard this phrase.
From Sabrina Berna, when the audio broke and all the censoring Glee got replaced by the Grinch audio.
Flashback.
The songs in this episode are Perfect by Pink, performed by Klain. It's actually F**** ING Perfect, but they changed the title for the Glee cover.
Ooh, I wonder what that would sound like with our censor. Let's try it. Fucking perfect.
It didn't work.
Oh.
Is it broken? Fucking perfect. It worked that time.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's just broken for you.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's so weird.
Wait. Shit. What?
What?
Is it working now?
Hold up. I'm going to fix it. Me, 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 me. This is what tools sound like. Me, 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 me. Try it now.
Grinch.
Oh, it's the Grinch one.
Oh, God.
I guess we'll just have to use the Grinch one. I'm sorry, it's glitching, you guys. Oh, dang, it's on the fritz. Guys. It's on the fritz.
I hope this doesn't last the whole episode.
I hope. Man, that would be so annoying.
Flash forward.
That was such a really... A really funny bit. And that was all Ian. Oh my gosh. Let's listen to an email from Katie.
Hi, Lena and Ian. So I was listening to your 99th minisode while I was shoveling after the last storm. Yes, it took me an hour to shovel one path. That's what happens when you get more than 20 inches in 30 hours. And I had to run into the house to use the bathroom, so I didn't pee my pants from laughing with you. Which brings me to your question of my favorite moments of the podcast. One of my favorite things is when you guys start laughing so hard on something like the Cheadle of it all, which just ended up being a typo. Actually, Hayden did text us after that episode aired.
Uh-huh.
Cheadle is a real thing. I looked it up. He just spelled it. He spelled it Cheadle as in like Don Cheadle. Which he was like, it's on me. I didn't look up how to spell it. It's spelled C-H-E-E-T-L-E, and it is the official name, according to the Cheetos company, for Cheetos dust.
See, and so that's the thing is, you mentioned it last time. You were like, Hayden always knows those like $4 cool fancy words, and that's true. He did know it. We didn't know it.
We just know Don Cheadle.
Literally all I know is Don Cheadle.
One of my favorite things is when you guys start laughing so hard on something like the Cheetah of it all to Lena being unable to stop laughing about the 1 million moms part from New Directions. Even though it's not a specific thing that has happened on the podcast, hearing the two of you laugh and learning of your beautiful friendship dynamic brings me so much joy and laughter. So thank you so much for that. Deep breath. On to opening night. I didn't really have anything to say about this episode, and I know you did an assignment of the week, but I thought of another to do. Which song are you going to sing at a club with your friends after you have your Broadway opening night? Since I know we will be seeing both of your names in a Broadway playbill in the future. All my love and forever a recovering gleek, Katie Sheher from upstate New York, aka The Farm. I don't do karaoke ever just because like I'm not going to go alone and then it's just like not a thing that comes up. I'm always like, I want to do karaoke. It never happens. But in my mind... I do karaoke with a friend of mine, preferably of the female persuasion or someone who just has a higher vocal register. And we do Love Shack by the B-52s. I think that is such a get the party started fun karaoke song.
Are you not going to invite me to do it?
I'm saying.
I'm
not going to make your pick for you. But if we're making our Broadway debut together... Then we can do Ooh. Love Shack.
Perfect.
Bang, bang on the door, baby.
Mm-hmm. We should do that. My boyfriend loves karaoke, and I famously love to watch other people do karaoke, so we should all go.
I would love to.
That would be awesome.
I have been wanting to do karaoke for literal years, and I just never get around to
it. We should do it. What am I going to do? This is what's so hard about karaoke to me is I take this kind of choice so seriously and I'm like, oh, well, I just want everyone to have fun. I don't want it to be like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why you do Love Shack. Love Shack is a party song.
Love Shack is perfect. And then you get everyone in on it too. Like everyone is singing in the whole room. And I think that's the move.
Mm-hmm.
In my wildest dreams, it is something similar to, what Rachel's going through where it's like a big club, everyone is dancing and it's karaoke and like, you know, it's very fun. My choice is Rain On Me by Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande and Ian can do it with me.
That is, I may not be dry, but at least I'm alive. That lyric is so good.
So good.
Come
I
on.
Have been in like real dark places and heard that song and been like, I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive. What the
Grinch?
She ate.
They knew what they were doing.
They really did.
connecting?
That's a really good question. Thanks so much for this message. And also the 1 million moms bit, very funny. I just like that part of the show, I don't know, is very funny. And the way that Ian explained it also, like anything that Ian, like, I don't know, just the way Ian talks really makes me laugh. And I love that.
Thank you. I don't think I explained it very funny. I think it is part of the show.
No, the way you explained it was really funny. Did you explain
Thank
it?
You.
I don't know, but that is true.
Know.
The way you explain things makes me laugh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, you ready for some Insta pics?
So ready.
Ryan Todd Johnson said, Lena's fellatio joke will always be the funniest moment of this podcast for me.
Flashback.
Next song we have is Whistle by Flo Rida, performed by the Dalton Academy Warblers. Fun fact about this song is it is about fellatio. Next, we have Live While We're Young.
Is that on Glee Wiki?
Glee. No, that's me.
That is funny. Oh my god.
No glags. And I said, I've got one.
Flash forward.
It is perfect comedic delivery. It's so good.
Really?
So, yeah. So good.
Wow. A real comedian I am.
I truly am comedian.
Comedian. This is one of my favorite podcast moments for sure. I feel like I watch this clip all the time. New career in cowboy says Ian's NYC autograph signing disaster heart with respect.
Flashback.
Last night, a friend of mine and her husband came and saw me and friends. After the show, we were walking down Broadway and this couple in front of us stops and turns around. And the lady goes, oh, I'm pretty sure I just saw your show.
Oh.
Well, would you sign something for us? And I was so flattered. I was like, oh my gosh, of course. She gives me a Sharpie and she's like, oh gosh, like, what do we have to sign? What do we have to sign? They're looking around. And you know, Friends doesn't have a playbill. Our playbill is like on the phone. So they can't be like, here's the playbill to your show. Sign this. And so they're looking around for something and her husband has a tote bag from when they saw Book of Mormon. And she was like, how about you just sign this? So I signed the tote bag and I'm like, okay, weird that they're just going to have my name on some random tote bag, but good for them, I guess. And then the husband is like, oh, have him sign the boxers too. And she's like, oh, okay. And they open the tote bag and pull out like Book of Mormon merch boxers. And this is when alarm bells started going off in my head. I'm so non-confrontational that I was like, I don't want to bring this up. I already signed one thing. I'll just sign these boxer shorts and like me and my friends will like dip out. So they bring out the boxer shorts and I sign them and like, okay, cool. Like, see you later. And then she says, oh, I actually have the playbill. Could you sign that? So any well-adjusted person at this point would have been like, hey, I'm so sorry. I think there was a miscommunication.
I would have done it well back. Well back.
You guys, I'm not proud of it.
No.
But I signed the playbill for a show that I'm not in.
Hell yeah. You know what? It's manifesting. I'm good. I'm into this.
I was like, I'm in too deep at this point. I just want to get out of here. I want to like go run away before these people piece us together. So I'm just going to sign this playbill and bolt. I sign the playbill and the woman goes, oh, can you show us in the playbill?
No.
She's like, can you show us your name in the playbill? And I was like,
I would have Naruto run away. I would have been like, oh no, a bobcat, and then ditched.
So I, after having signed three pieces of Book of Mormon
not
merchandise.
Their merch, Ian, not their merch.
That they spent money on.
No. I would have kept, like, you're in too deep at this point, Ian. Not the merch. It's so expensive.
I said, I think they're...
No!
I think...
You should have said, like, I'm brand new to the cast. They haven't put my name in yet. Like, I'm one of those inserts.
Be like... I'm a swing. Did you not get the insert in the program? Shoot, honestly, if I was a good liar, I would have said that. I'm literally sweating thinking about this. This is so humiliating. I had to say, I'm so sorry. I think there was a miscommunication. I'm not in that show.
I'm in Wicked.
I should have.
Yeah, you should have just punched up immediately and been like, oh, I'm in Wicked, actually.
I'm in the Company revival. Sorry.
I'm actually Patty LuPone.
Whew, so they were actually super cool about it. I think they were as embarrassed as I was, which is frankly ridiculous because that's very much on me.
I mean, I understand that.
Why did I not immediately, as soon as the boxer shorts come out, be like, I was not in this show? But then they were super cool about it. Yeah. They thought it was funny. And they were like, we want to get a picture of you, like with you to remember this. And then they sent me the picture.
That is actually so sweet. Show me this picture now.
Here's a picture of us. And they're holding up all the Book of Mormon merchandise that I signed. Ah! It's so embarrassing.
Flash forward.
Did that woman email me recently?
No way.
She emailed me.
No way.
Yeah, she emailed me back in October to be like, hey, we're coming back to New York.
Sweet.
And like, do you have any suggestions of like things we should do? And also, are you still in Friends? Like, we'll come see it. But I was on the ship at the time, so they couldn't come see me. They were very nice. That story would have been much less funny if it was a less understanding person. This is one of my faves. This is a flashback.
Oh, yeah. What?
Brona Handratty says, quote, I'm looking at you and I'm trying to remember that feeling I used to have of family. And we talked about,
oh my God.
We talked about Will writing about Terry in his burn book.
Flashback.
Does Will rehearse his burns to Terry? They sound like he's been standing in the mirror being like, and this is what I'm going to say to her. Literally,
he's like, I look at you and I used to see family.
I'm looking at you and I'm trying to feel that thing I felt before. That feeling of love and family, but it's gone.
That's a pretty sick burn.
If someone said that to me,
I would set on fire.
That is one of those things that you have a fight with someone and you get all angry and then you go home that night and you're like, oh man, you know what I should have said? I should have said, when I look at you, I try and feel that thing I felt before, but it's gone. This man is like online looking up like what are the most devastating things you could say to undo a person psychologically, to just like absolutely destroy their sense of well-being in two sentences or less.
Flash forward.
FlyGuyNY _ says Lena's running gag of forgetting to do the glacts. I'm glad that other people like that because it makes me laugh every time.
Prank queen.
You know me. A real prankster. Up next, we've got a message from Blanton.
Hello, Ian and LPC. My name is Blanton, best friend of the podcast. And I just wanted to congratulate you on 100 minisodes. Buckle up. I'm about to get kind of sappy, but I'm a triple water, so that's to be expected. I've been listening to the podcast for I don't even know how long. 100 years?
I remember. I used to smoke cigarettes back in 1923.
We'd be in that speakeasy. Right. And Blanton'd say, what are you listening to on the phonograph, see? And we'd say, well, we have a newfangled invention called a podcast. Named after edamame and spell casting, didn't you hear?
And they said, wow.
To your Patreon. Blanton actually invented Patreon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is we invented podcasting. They invented Patreon.
Yes. Yes. All right. Back to Blanton's email. Anyways, I found this podcast after I was in a really dark and deep depressive episode after the sudden and unexpected loss of my dad. I wasn't really eating, sleeping well, or keeping up with my hygiene, basically anything to take care of myself. It was very traumatic. I can't remember how long after, but my guess is a few months or more. I found your podcast through TikTok and found myself smiling, maybe even laughing for the first time in a long time. Your podcast helped me escape my mind for a little bit and let me feel a sense of happiness when it sometimes felt like I shouldn't. In catching up and continuing to listen to the podcast since, I come to and support this podcast because without even knowing it, you've supported me more than you know. 2.5 years after everything happened, it's still hard. And I'm going through another unexpected life change right now, but nowhere near as bad. And I know having you guys in my ears, making me laugh and smile, I will get through it. A million thank yous and a million forehead kisses if you so choose to accept. Thank you for everything. Best friend of the podcast, Blanton. P.S. I'm sorry for any grammatical issues. I wrote this as it came to me. Love you guys. I will always be in your corner and only wish the best for you and your lives and careers. Blanton. There's like not really any words to respond to this email. Thank you so much for sending this. It is just, it's just such a privilege to, I don't know, be able to like distract people from circumstances of life when life is terrible. I'm so sorry for what you have gone through. I hope that whatever life change you're going through now, that it isn't too hard. Like you said, you'll make it through it, but that's still hard. Stuff is still hard, even when you know you'll make Absolutely. It through it. And truly, it is a huge honor to have been able to, you know, make dumb jokes about starting a podcast in a speakeasy in 1923 and have that in some way like offer you some comfort. And to everyone who has expressed sentiments to us like that, it is truly like, this podcast is first and foremost fun to do, but second and second most, it sometimes can be difficult because, you know, like we have other jobs and we get busy and sometimes the Wi-Fi is crappy and like all that stuff. But during moments when it does become a little more difficult to do, these messages are what makes it worth it to continue to be like, oh, yes, we are having a great time chatting with each other, making jokes and having a good time. And then also there are people who are getting some sort of like distraction or comfort out of this. And that is just so amazing. And I'm so grateful for that.
Beautifully said, Ian. Blanton, I'm sending you so much love and everyone so much love. Like this moments like this. Oh my gosh. I just love doing this. And I love so much that we have this and get to share this together, Ian, and get to share this with, you know, these people who I genuinely like care about so much. And like, oh my God, my condolences to your family and you and to everyone. It is the honor of my lifetime that we get to be, you know, share these laughs.
Thank you all for writing in, listening to 100 minisodes. Here's to 100 more.
Yeah.
Do you want to do 4 final Instagram bits?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Another one from FlyGuyNY_. Also, Ian yelling, big reputation every couple of seconds. I love that one so much.
Flashback.
Terry Schuster is reputation.
Oh!
That's God's honest.
It would be a big conversation.
And I heard about you.
Ooh, what is Sue Sylvester?
I think she's reputation too.
Big reputation. This is Sue when she meets with Terry.
Reputation, sorry.
When she meets with Terry the Lima Bean when she's dressed as Ziggy Stardust. If Glee had come out post 2017, this is what that scene would have been. Big reputation. Totally. You and me would be in big like, conversation.
The body roll
and I heard about you. Ooh. Duet between Terry and Sue in the Lima Bean.
Flash forward.
Speaking of the Eras Tour, Taylor Swift Eras Tour.
I know.
A lot of people said this, but here's one I have in front of me. I just want to look at me, _mess, says, British Tony gets me every time.
Flashback.
Also, she went on to play the role of Effie in Dreamgirls on the West End in London, and she won an Olivier.
An Olivier Award winner.
Which is British Tony, for those who don't know.
That's the British word for Tony Award.
That should be my alter ego as British Tony.
British Tony?
Hello, I'm British Tony.
I'm British Tony.
I'm British Tony. And
you can call
came
me
from
Olivier.
Across the pond. I came from across the pond to see what's going on in the colonies.
Okay, first of all, you have done British accents professionally. I've seen it happen. What are you doing?
Flash forward.
Oh, British Tony, the best.
British Tony forever in our hearts.
This one's a little self-indulgent for me to share, but it is one of my favorite moments from the podcast because I remember
working
very hard.
It might be the one that I'm about
hard.
To share. It. I
what
was literally
it?
About to share this one.
Oh my
it's
God,
Rocky the, Horror.
You can share it, girl.
Okay, then you have to pick a different one. Lena's Brana Hanratty says Lena's Rocky Horror recap song.
Flashback.
Will Schuster was jealous of Dr. Carl and Miss Pill, and he wanted to get her back. And Mercedes saved the day when Mike had to quit the play. Finn Hudson from his costume he ran. Then something went wrong. Sue Sylvester schemed on. Will got naked in his classroom. Gross. Then Will cast himself in the show. That's disgusting, I know. And this is how the message ran.
Flash forward.
I worked very hard on it.
That was so impressive.
And I also have never lived up to it since. It was at season 2. I'll never do it better.
That's the hard thing about just like working really hard on something is you're like, oh, yeah. I'm gonna expect this now.
Oh my God. And also, like, it was a perfect storm because it was Rocky Horror. It does like a, you know, mm-hmm. They didn't do a recap that episode. They did a song. Mm-hmm. And it's Rocky Horror. I can't
it
do it
truly,
again.
It was absolutely incredible.
Jade Marie says Ian's first time of hearing about a period, and later that day, you peed blood.
it was the story. It's so that one is I have no idea what episode this is in.
Yeah,
but I know the exact story she's talking about.
Yeah,
which is it was show and tell in first grade, and this girl was talking about her show and tell story was that she had like stepped on her cat's claw because her cat's claw fell out, and then she said, and then later that day. I peed blood. And my teacher was like, okay, Sydney, you're finished. Anyone else? And at the time I was like, what a stupid end to a story. She's obviously lying. You can't pee blood.
I peed blood.
Which I mean, I imagine she was lying and I kind of, that's like very early to have started your period in first grade.
Sometimes also you pee blood, you know?
But sometimes you pee blood. Have I told the story about the time that this might be new. About the time that I peed red and it stained the toilet when I was in fourth grade. And I was like, and I called my mom in to be like, my pee's red.
Was and it because of the Cheetos?
Yeah, it was because I ate a ton of Flaming Hot Cheetos. Mm-hmm. I just ate like a full, huge bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos and it turned my pee red to the point that it stained the toilet.
It stained the toilet?
Yeah, my mom had to like deep clean it.
Oh my gosh. When you get a UTI, there's this like medicine you can take called like Azo or something that mm-hmm. like it dyes your piss like neon orange and it is so crazy and it stains your toilet. It is so crazy and it's like, oh God, I totally forgot that I even took that. It's alarming.
Well, on that note, that's 100 minisodes in the bank. All right, are you ready for our 100th relative pitch game? That's such a lie because we didn't start the relative pitch game until
literally.
Like deep into season 2.
Literally,
but might as well. It was also this was a listener suggestion.
I love it.
The relative Let's pitch game it. Was a listener suggestion. Do you remember back when someone emailed us to say that? There's been some studies that suggest that your pitch correction has to do with like your genetics. And so anytime that we didn't do well on the relative pitch game, we should blame our ancestors.
Blame our ancestors, yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And we used to always curse the name of our ancestors when we didn't get it right. I mean, my ancestors just got sick of being blamed. So I had to stop doing that because I get it wrong every week. All right. So songs in this episode are Loveful by the Cardigans, NYC from Annie, and then I'm the Greatest Star, Who Are You Now from Funny Girl, and Pumpkin Blood by No No No. Who's No No No? I believe I'm up first because I did the Glacts.
Okay, perfect. I want you to sing NYC.
NYC, what is it about you? You're big, you're loud, you're tough. Okay, my NYC is F, A flat, E flat. Okay, so I was a step and a half sharp because she started that on a D. Mm.
Dang.
Shout.
Shout.
All right. Sing Greatest Star.
Oh, freaking frick.
Were you hoping I would give you Love Fool?
Yeah.
Well, sucks because I was hoping you would give me Love Fool, so we're both disappointed.
That's why I wasn't going to give it to you because I wanted you to give it to me. Wow, a bunch of selfish bitches you and I are.
I mostly was like, we should do a Funny Girl song. It's the Funny Girl episode.
I know. What's that song called? What did you ask me to sing? I fully forgot when you didn't say Love Fool. Got it. I'm the greatest star I am by far, but no one knows it. Wait, they're gonna hear a voice, a silver flute. Excuse me.
You are a natural cougher.
Oh, no, for real, I'm a natural cougher.
So, I'm the greatest star was G, C, B, D, A, no, G, C, B, A. A flat.
Jeez. I am by far
the greatest star.
Of course you're right. Your ancestors and I are gonna fight. Fight to the death. I'm over it.
Wow.
Wait!
It's just because I'm the greatest star.
You 100 losses are really weighing down on me.
You've lost every time, and I've won every single time for 100 years.
For 100 years. I'm Sisyphus
over here. I
remember
back in the 20s, we used to play this game just at the little pianoforte there in the corner.
Yeah. We're singing, like, Moon Dance.
Classic us singing Moon Dance.
First jazz song I could think of. Is that even... Did that come out at that time? It came out in the 60s. I'm so stupid. Okay, so, wow, here's to 100 years of minisodes. Here's to 100 minisodes more. Can you believe how crazy? And here's to us talking about the backup plan in 2 days.
Whoa.
So, everyone check it out. If you have thoughts to share with us, share them at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. And if you just have 100 great memories about 100 minisodes, then tell 100 friends that they should all listen to our podcast 100 times and leave us 100 star reviews.
Absolutely.
Love you forever.
Love you forever. Here is 100 mini kisses.
You better do it. You better do it.
Okay. Ready? Are you counting?
I started and I stopped.
Me too.
And that was 100.
That was 100. I'm sure you guys started then also stopped as well. And listen, I got to 100.
If you didn't count 100, your math is incorrect. Double check it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Come on, you guys.
Maybe you should go back to school.
I know. Think about that. Listen, I've been like, you know, an adult for more than 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have like... a few degrees, and you don't know that at least one of them's not a math degree. Get out of here.
We're older and wiser. We have 100 years of knowledge, so get out of here.
Get out of here. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.